Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know truly there is a word from the Lord. Before we get started, though, let's go ahead and have Prophetess to give us our announcements and also our prayer, and then we're going to get into this word. I mean, because he rose. Amen. Amen. All right, Prophetess.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome to our broadcast, Kingdom Lifestyle. Thank God for you, you, and you. In this evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for this show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. Please go to our website. Check us out. Follow all of our links. If you would like any information concerning the church, if you have any prayer requests, or if you would like Apostle or myself to attend any of your ministerial engagements for speaking, please go to the contact page or contact us tab, click there, follow the instructions, and someone will contact you within 12 hours, 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Also, we have a Facebook page. Go there, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. We want to hear from you and how God is blessing you, as well as how God is using this ministry to bless your life. We do ask that you become a vision and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. We have many churches that are under our covering. Amen. And not only do they need your physical prayers, amen, to continue the work that they're doing, but they also need financial support as well to continue moving the vision that God has ordained for them to do. Amen. Those are the announcements, people of God. Amen. Be blessed of the Lord. Let us look to him in prayer, and then let us get right into the word with none other than Apostle McQueen. Let us pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We praise your holy name. We lift your name up in this place. You are holy and righteous. There is no one else like you, God. We thank you for all that you are doing. Father, we give ourselves to you completely and totally. Father, we lay not our guilt, God, but we lay our burdens, amen, at your feet this evening. You said, cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Father, we do that right now in Jesus' name. Father, even now as we come before the throne boldly, We repent, Father, of everything. Everything we said, God, everything we thought, everything that we did not believe, not trusting in you, not believing in you, allowing fear, allowing doubt, allowing unbelief, God, just having the flesh just run rampant. Father, whatever it is, whether we said it, did it, or thought it, we ask for forgiveness right now and that you would wash us in the blood of Jesus. Father, let every negative word, let every unrighteous word, let every word of folly that has gone forth out of our mouths, Father, unknowingly or knowingly, let the seeds die before they hit the ground. Let the seeds die before they take root. Even those seeds that have hit the ground and have started bursting forth through the ground, Father, we ask that you would root it out in Jesus' name. We bind it up and we cast it down, null and void. We cancel it, every assignment that's trying to create itself in the atmosphere by our words. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. God, we ask for forgiveness right now and that we will begin to use our mouths and our voice to speak the oracles of God. That we will use our mouths and voices to create things that be not as though they were in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now, as a man of God comes, Father, we ask that you would just give him the wisdom, give him the knowledge and the understanding. Let him begin to speak forth your word on tonight. Let it bring healing. Let it bring deliverance. God, open up our eyes, our vision, that we may see what it is that you want us to see. Open up our ears that we may hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. God, begin to stir us over. Begin to turn us over, God, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to be a righteous men and women before you. Touch our minds, God. Renew our minds in the blood. Renew our minds in the anointing. Renew our minds in the word tonight in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you and we praise you for all that you're doing, for all that you have done. Your name is to be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you for that dynamic prayer. We know that this is a time in our lives. Amen. As I was sitting in class yesterday, one of the young ladies said something as the instructor said, hopefully you all had a wonderful Easter weekend. And what he was saying was, you know, it was a wonderful resurrection weekend. But what she said was, Easter is the pagan holiday. And I'm, of course, not letting her slight the fact that he rose, said, you're right. That's why we don't celebrate Easter. Mm-hmm. We celebrate resurrection. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I want you all to understand that the enemy has tried his best to bring in all kind of counterfeits or other things that he knew would be important, amen, in defining the Christian faith. So now that when you look at the Christian holidays, Easter, Christmas, things like that, you see it in its pagan form, amen. Mm-hmm. Christmas has been reduced to buying presents and don't get me wrong, everybody loves gifts, amen. But when you forget that the reason for the season is Jesus,
yeah,
then you start celebrating every other reason for the season. And that's where non-Christians have problems with us. And they quickly will remind us that it was at certain times as we were trying to encourage, or should I say, as the Roman Catholic Church was trying to encourage others into its ranks, the heathens, if you will, mm-hmm. as they were called at the time, into their ranks. They began to assimilate some of their practices that were held around the same time. Amen. Christianity being a faith that grew out of Judaism, Judaistic equivalent to Easter is Passover, amen. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that these days that are after Easter are still qualified as Passover. So we're still dealing with, or they're still dealing with, those things. And we have to be aware of that. Amen.
Right.
Christianity did not start by itself. It is an extension of Judaism. Amen. Which mm-hmm. is why we still hold to the Old Testament as a foundation for good living. There are things that are there that we hold on to, examples of righteous living that we hold on to. But then we also understand the fulfillment of the law, which is Jesus. And that's where we differ. Amen. That's where we progress past just the law, the Mosaic law and the Abrahamic covenants and things that were set, and understand that this is what God gave us. This is what God said to us. And this is what we have because God loved us. Amen. So all the promises that we have, Abraham, amen, in those covenants came because we are now adopted in. Amen. That's why the Bible says that we now have the spirit of adoption wherein we cry out, Abba, Father. Amen.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
Once you understand those things, then you can be okay with hearing people and seeing people say those things. Amen. Easter was for the pagans a celebration of the spring and the renewal of life after they had after the winter, harsh winters.
Mm-hmm.
There was a renewal of life, and that's what they celebrated. So the gods or the goddesses, Esther or Asherah, Ashtara, all of those are forms of the goddess that is celebrated at Easter, fertility, new life. You know, in some aspects, it was a warring god, amen? But that goes into a whole nother level and list of things that we could be talking about today. Today, though, we really want to celebrate and look at the celebration of Jesus, amen? And I think too often what we have done is we have gotten into those useless, needless debates. And when I heard the young lady say that it's a pagan holiday, I quickly reminded her that for the Jews, it is a Passover. Yeah. That's not pagan. It wasn't pagan when they experienced that in the Exodus, amen. For Christians, the death of Christ and his resurrection coincides with some of the beliefs that they had, that what was dead is now alive. But even at that, we still have to deal with the fact that he got up.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
And of everyone who died, he's the only one who got back up. Amen. Amen. So let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate the resurrection. And my question tonight, and I was, as I was meditating and asking God which way we should go today, he simply asked the question, and that is, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Amen.
Yeah,
I'm so glad that God gives us these type of thoughts. Amen. And begins to open up a revelation to us so that we can walk it out. Amen. Amen. You have to understand that it is during this time that Jesus has gotten up. Let's go to Matthew, the 28th chapter. I spoke on this on Saturday, amen. Those of you who tuned in, we were in transition to Georgia, amen. And as we were traveling, we called into the broadcast, and I started seeing that we were going to have some difficulties. So we went ahead and ended the broadcast early. Amen. It wasn't that we didn't have anything further to say. We just knew that we may be cut off because of reception. amen, going through some of those areas, amen. Amen. So let's pick it up here, amen. And we're going to look at the Synoptic Gospels as well. Amen. What will you do with Jesus? It'll be Matthew 28:1.
Okay.
All right, reading from the New King James Version, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." Amen. And I remind you that when they came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, they came and they said, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" And he said, "I am he." And when he said, "I am he," the Bible says that they fell as dead men.
Uh-huh.
Amen. We see the same thing here. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth verse says, "But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for it is I that you, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they quickly, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." Let's go over to Mark, the 16th chapter, 1st through the 8th verse, and read this account again. And the reason I want to do this, we're going to also go to Luke 24, 1 through 9, is because you'll see certain things that are the same, but certain factors that are different.
Mm-hmm.
They expound a little bit more on this, but not so much there, or they add to the story for clarity here, whereas they may have just made a statement elsewhere. Amen. But we get a full picture seeing this in the Synoptic Gospels. After all is said and done, they went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. They had an encounter, amen, and then there was a conversation, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wasn't there. He had already left, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's read this now. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." So now we see that the first one sent them to say, and this one said that they got the message but didn't say. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's read Luke's encounter of this. Amen? The encounter of this as recorded in Luke, amen. And then we're going to go to John 21:10, amen.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Amen. And I wish I had time to just preach that by itself, because that can go somewhere. Amen. People today are supposed to be living the life, and they're still trying to live the life among dead. Amen. Amen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Amen. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. And the words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes laying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Amen? Amen. Now, let's read the last one, and this is in John, the 20th chapter and the first verse. Amen? Why don't you read that, Prophetess, for us?
Okay. Early in the morning, I'm reading out of the Message Bible.
Read it from the New King James.
All right, one moment. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes.
But, amen. Oh. Yes. Now, let me interject right here, because now we have four different accounts of the meeting at the tomb. Amen? With that, you have to understand that there is clarity as to what happened. Peter was at the tomb, and there were women at the tomb. This account here places the disciple, the other disciple, amen, who is not named, amen. And we can speculate on who that is. But at this time, let's just leave that where it is, because it's not important to what we need to look at and what we need to begin to deal with in this dissertation. We see that they are there. We see that they are met. Amen. We see that they see the evidence of the body not being there. They see the clothing that's there. They see the handkerchief that was on his face folded and set there. But that yet and still, they don't see Jesus.
Yeah.
See, now, the thing that I want to impress upon you when we ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? Many people have asked the question from the very beginning, at the beginning of his passion. What will you do with Jesus? Here's one who has come. He's disrupted the normality of things. He has not come in and just gone silently into the night. He has come and he has turned everything upside down. Jesus has come in and begin to discipline and cleanse and teach and instruct in such a way that those who were in charge had to check themselves, feeling that the power was shifting from them. They did what anyone else would do when they feel themselves going out of control. They did what they had to do to survive. And you have to understand, they threw Jesus up under a bus, not realizing that that was part of the plan all the time. Amen. See, Jesus was born to die. His purpose for being was his death for our redemption. And you have to see it for what it is. When you look at it outside of that, then you don't see him as a savior. You don't see him as one who came to die. You see him as a victim. You see him as one who was lied on. And I've heard people say, if it had been me, then I would have called those angels down. I would have cut myself. Is it important for me to die, or can I just give some of my blood? Because one drop of his blood is just as powerful. Listen, he had to go through it all. Everything that you deserve for your sinful life, he had to endure the punishment for, even to his death. See, the life that we live now, we don't live of our own. Some people walk around talking about, this my life. This my, I'm going to do, you know what? I'll live however I want. But guess what? Had he not died for you, what kind of life could you live? The Bible tells us very clearly that the life that we live is not our own. Amen? We live our life unto Christ. That's the life we live. Amen?
Amen?
And since we live that life, we have to understand what he did to earn this. Because you are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. When you understand what the price was, you'll understand a couple of things. Number one, you were not a cheap buy. Amen. Jesus did not come by, God did not come by to get you on a clearance rack.
Right.
You weren't
right.
Part of the sale. You know, he paid the full price for you. Amen. And whatever that price was, he paid it all.
Yes, he did.
Amen. And once you understand that, then you'll stop belittling yourself. You won't cheapen your worth. Or your value, if you will. You'll understand that if it hadn't been for him coming after you and paying the full price, then there would still be some things that you have to do in order to earn or to gain salvation. But he did pay it all. He did do it all. Amen? And the whipping, the lying, some of you, people can speak your name in a negative sense before you ready to go show them who you are. And here's Jesus, our example, who's being challenged and they blindfolded him.
Yes.
And the Bible says they came by and smote him and said, prophesy to us, which one of us smote you? See, Your anointing is going to be tried. Mm-hmm. I wish I had time. I wish I had time. The problem that a lot of people have is that when we begin to deal with your anointing being tried, you have gone to a place and the Lord has given you an anointing on your life. You've spoken a word or two. He's moved through you when you laid your hands when you prayed and then you saw the manifestation of the power of God and miracles, signs, and wonders. So now here you are telling everybody that you're anointed. And you want everybody to respond to that. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Huh? But what happens when your anointing's tried? Go back to the example, Jesus. Tell us, which one of us smote you?
Oh, good.
Yet and still, he didn't get up and say, listen, you need to look at who I am. I know he didn't start speaking in tongues. You see this? He didn't start cursing everything that moved and calling it null and void and under my feet. He didn't do any of that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
See, you have to understand, if you're going to be a true Christian, then you have to learn how to endure hardships, yes, even as Jesus did. Oh, that's hard. That's harsh. Oh, I've been going to the church and we've been shouting, turn three times, and he's causing your enemies to, okay, that all sounded good. But now the reality is Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. Bless those who despitefully use you.
Yes.
You see all of this? Paul takes it on and says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Yes. Romans the 12th chapter, for those of you who want to go find it, amen. Hmm. See, he tells us to bless and curse not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Christian way. So when we ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? We're saying this is all that he went through for you. Here in these synoptic gospels in the book of John, amen, we see now then Jesus has left the tomb. Yet and still people have come to see him there. They have come to find out where Jesus is. And that's the problem that some of us have, is that we go back to yesterday's victories, yesterday's events, and try to relive them. Vicariously, we try to find ourselves in the moment. Back in the day, amen, you may have been the person who walked down the halls of your school and caused all the men or all the boys' heads to turn. And now you and got a little older and a little bigger. And what was up in, you know, everybody's face is now dragging behind. Huh? What was, what used to be sitting out and tight is now loose and needs some help to get back up to par. Huh? See, that was your yesterday. But you have to learn how to live successful today. And your victory is not in your past. It's in your future. Amen?
Amen.
I have to be realistic that when I was younger, I could run a quarter mile and competed and wrestled and, you know, got my letter and everything else. I did all this wonderful stuff. Prophetess and I was on the road this past weekend and the week before. And I tell you, when we got back, it took more than a day for us to get back. Amen?
Amen.
It used to be that I used to get off the road and hit the road running.
Yep.
Hmm? I remember being on tour and getting off the road on tour, unloading all the equipment out and putting the luggage up, changing for work and running in and working the shift.
Yep.
Come home and had to run to a rehearsal and then I could go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And could do it, wouldn't be no problem. I can't do that today. Why? Because that was yesterday. And what I'm trying to tell you is that how I addressed yesterday was yesterday. How I address today is today. My wisdom now is that I know that when I go out of town and I have to travel, that I need to take some time before to prepare myself for the travel, and now I need to take some time after the travel, amen, so I can recharge and get myself back to where I need to be, amen,
amen.
Before, we used to run and not even think about sleep and rest, get there and do everything, and I don't understand to this day, looking back in hindsight, going to convocations and the like, how I could stay up all night at midnight musicals and doing rehearsals and everything else and be at the early morning prayer playing for the first service at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you didn't get in bed until about 4 or 5 o'clock after sitting up laughing and talking to friends from all over the place. And you did that for about a week straight. That means that for every night, you got about 2, 3, 4 hours of sleep at the most.
Yeah.
I can't do that now. And some of you have to be realistic. Some of the stuff that you used to do back in your yesterday, you can't do in your today.
Right.
Amen? Look at this. Peter and them went out. Mary Magdalene and them went out. And as they went out to see where Jesus was. Not realizing that Jesus was not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got to that point, they had to do something with their expectation of seeing Jesus and not finding him.
Wow.
You see this? How do you deal with, how do you manage mentally and how do you come to grips with the fact that the one who has impressed your life so dramatically is not where you left him? Can you shift and get a new revelation of your new purpose? See, this is the whole thing that we have to deal with here. I read all four of the text so that we could see what was going on. Huh? This 10th verse here, John 20 and 10, says, then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Don't this sound like Israel when they would experience a defeat on a battlefield? Every man went back to his own tent. Here they are. They are the disciples, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, not seeing the body and not knowing what to do, because you have to understand, every time Jesus was teaching and training them and putting them through their paces, he kept saying, how long will I be with you? How long must the son, man tarry with you? He's talking to some of us today. How long must I be with you? How long must the Son of Man tarry with you? You've been spoken to. You've been preached to you. You've been prophesied. Hands have been laid upon you. Holy hands have been laid upon you. You fasted. You prayed. You've asked God this, that, and the other. And yet and still, you come to an empty tomb and you forgot what was said to you. You forgot the lessons. You forgot that he instructed you what was going to happen. Defeated, you go back. Because now your proof of, we know what happened. See, Peter was a fighter. You have to understand that when he came here, Peter came here as one who had already denied Christ 3 times. Huh? One of his most faithful followers has now left his side and disowned him in the company of his naysayers. Peter needed to see Jesus at the tomb.
Yes.
He needed to find him there because he needed to be able to lay to rest the fact that he failed. See, we don't see Peter here dealing with this except as a defeated person. That's why when we see it in Luke, amen.
Mm-hmm.
when we see it in no, not in Luke, but in Mark. Amen. There we go. Amen. When we see it there, we see that it was told to them. Sixth verse. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. Mark 16 and 6. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. You see that? He is not here. See the place where they laid him. They laid him, but he got up. You see that? Huh? Seventh verse. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. And he said, as he said to you. So there was already instruction in place as to what should happen after he died. And like most times, people leave instructions when I'm gone. I want you to do this, that, and other. And when they die, people get into debates and there's contention about it, and they say, well, you know, they ain't here, and right. and we're going to do what's best for us right now.
Right.
And there they go. Yeah. They go doing what's best for them and not necessarily according to the assignment that was given them. The disciples here are not doing it according to the assignment given them. So he said, you will see me again. Amen. They came to find him where they left him, dead. Crucified.
True.
And he's not here. True. Defeated in themselves, not having anyone else or remember anything that he said. They begin to then go back to their homes, every man to his tent. Amen. But now let me go back to John the 20th chapter, because I want you to see something. Sometimes you have to understand that what you seek has already changed frequencies. The reason why you can't see it is because you're not on the same wavelength anymore. Amen? Mm-hmm. Do you see this?
I do. I'm looking at it.
Now, let's go and read down, if you will. Start reading from the 11th verse, John 20, 11, please.
But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping.
Uh-huh.
And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb.
Hold on now. See, now here is Mary with the disciples, and she is affected the same way that they were. But whereas they went back to their homes, as Israel would always do when they were defeated, mm-hmm. Mary is still here
yeah.
at the tomb, weeping. Now, why is she weeping? We're going to see as we continue on. The disciples pondered what had happened. But Mary seeks an answer. Keep reading. 12 verse.
And she saw two angels in white sitting.
Uh-huh.
One at the head and the other at the feet.
Mm-hmm.
Where the body of Jesus had laid.
Yeah.
Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.
Now, look at this. She's there at the right time to receive a revelatory word that's about to change or cause her to have a paradigm shift. Because she's weeping because she's frustrated with the situation. She came with the others, and they're going to anoint him for his burial because they couldn't do it because of the day of preparation. He was crucified, and they couldn't do it because of their obligations and duties. So now they're going to come as soon as they can and take care of this matter. Huh? So while she's there, she's crying. Now, 13th verse, then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Notice how every time that Jesus would come to his disciples in the middle of the sea or wherever they were, he would say peace to them. Do not fear. Why? Because things that were going on were outside of their comfort zone. And in order for them to deal with this situation, they had to be able to come to rest. Amen. Here she is. She's crying. And she's beside herself. And the words that they speak to her bring her back to focus. You see this?
Uh-huh.
Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him. She came to find a dead Savior so that she can pay homage to him, so that she can do her duty. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see what happens here. She has the right intention, but let's see this paradigm shift as the Holy Spirit reveals this to us. 14 verse.
Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus.
Now, do you see it? Here she's looking at what she desired.
Didn't recognize.
And didn't even recognize. Why? Because her vision, as we can tell from the 11th verse, or if we go all the way back up to the first verse, amen, her vision was still in the past of what he was and not who he is. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
She's still looking for a crucified, a Savior that had changed her life, that had impacted her. And she could not see him as a risen Savior and Lord. She couldn't see him as a conquering king. Mm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Go on and read that, 15th verse.
Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father.
Now, let me stop right here. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And in her answer, she goes back to clarify, I'm not looking for a risen Savior. I'm looking for a martyred Lord. But Jesus, knowing that it's time for her to understand, this is the paradigm shift. And I want you to get it in your heart. There is a day and a time when you have been fighting with yourself. You've been kicking around old ideals. You've been running after old dreams and visions, and you forgot to ask God about it. And God's the Lord has said, listen, I put all that inside of you because at the proper time, I'm going to bring it to pass and it's going to give glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are. You're at the perfect place at the right time, but your vision is still the old vision. So you have to have a paradigm shift so that you can see the same situation in a new way. And it came simply by a word. Notice he did not go into a great dissertation about who he was and how he was risen and I am the power and all that. He simply said to her, 16th verse, Mary.
That's it. One word.
When I asked the question at the very beginning of this, what will you do with Jesus? You have to understand that there is a day and a time when he simply calls your name. And what will you do with them? You answer him. It is in the answer. See, many are called, but few are chosen. I've said this before. The calling goes out. And there's a lot of people who hear the call, but won't answer the call. And because they don't answer the call, they don't get the benefit of obedience. There is no revelation. There is no matriculation. Amen. They don't get any of that because they simply won't answer the call. The thing about it is when you answer the call begins to then change you. You begin to change because the call brings you into a process that will begin to put you through your paces and take you through them and take off this and smooth that down and remove this and add that into you where you didn't have patience, where you didn't have love, where you didn't have kindness. He'll put you into situations where you become kind, where you become loving, yeah, where you begin to have patience with everyone, because those are the things that you need in order to do the assignment that he's giving you. Without them, you're somebody standing in a place, but you still can't see Jesus. He said to her, Mary, look at this, and I like this word here. It says she turned.
Lord, I wish I could run right now.
It says she turned and said to him. In other words, my vision, my focus was off. And when he called me, it helped me to align my vision to his voice. Remember, yes. Peter walked on the water as long as he was focused on Jesus.
Yes.
Mary now has the ability to do something that she couldn't do before because now she has a focus, and the focus is on Jesus. When he called her name, it was something that rebooted her software, if you will.
Yes.
Her operating system changed up at this point. Now she can focus and see him. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. In other words, I didn't just hear you call my name. I recognize who you are. I can see my call. I can see my purpose. I understand my purpose for being now. Now, for all of you male chauvinistic people out there who said that God can't use a woman, this right here should blow your mind. It should tear away the foundation of your theological reasoning. Because here Jesus is having a dissertation with somebody who's a female, and he didn't reveal himself to the males that were already there. You see that?
Very true.
I was looking at this and I said, Lord, oh. So all the men talking about, you know, the only reason why God used a woman is because a man wouldn't go. I'm sorry to tell you, here they are. They went to the tomb.
Well, huh?
A first, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. As yet, they did not know the scripture that he must raise again from the dead. Howbeit, Jesus had already told him to destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll build it up again. In other words, you know, he was telling them, listen, they're going to kill me, but I'm going to get up in 3 days. He told them the Son of Man must be delivered over into the hands of evil men. They knew exactly what was happening. He said, but I shall rise again. You will see me again. They knew he was getting up. They just didn't see that he got up. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Then the disciples went away again to their homes. 10 verse. So when we see down here Mary weeping and she's having this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus says to her 15th verse, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? He was checking to see, are you here for the right purpose? And when she said, tell me where you laid him, he gave her, in one word, a paradigm shift, a reboot. He said, stop looking for me as a dead savior and see me as a risen king, Mary.
Mm.
You see that? She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. You see this? Just that quick, Mary went from being one who's weeping to having a message. You see that?
I did.
And when I tell people, I said, you got to understand, Nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to, this is irrefutable proof of the fact that God called women into apostleship.
Sure,
because the apostle is one who is a messenger, given a message and an assignment by God. Mm-hmm. This right here qualifies her as the apostle. And guess what? She's the first apostle after the resurrection.
Sure.
What can you do with that? What will you do with Jesus, who took someone who you would have rejected and used them for such a key moment in the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at your life. Everybody's thrown you away and told you you'll never be nothing, told you that you messed up your life and you can't accomplish anything. God just, he gonna save you, but you know, you miss your time, you miss your season, and this ain't it. Listen, the devil is a liar. Huh? If God called you, God knows when he called you, why he called you. And if God gives you an assignment, be hasty about it, or make haste and do what he told you to do. It was for such a time as this that Mary's life was impacted by Jesus earlier in her existence.
Yes.
Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father. And notice how he said this, my Father. He wanted her to know that this was personal now. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. You see that? So now we're joint heirs. We're brethren. We're kingdom citizens. Huh? You see that? 18th verse, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to her these things. You see that? You have to understand, it is your responsibility to do something with Jesus. You can keep looking for him as a dead martyr. It's one who did great things, and he will always be a model prophet for us. Or you can see him as a risen king, a brother who brought us into the family of God. What will you do with him? I'm going to give you three things. Number one, seek him. Number two, find him. Number three, celebrate him. See, in your celebration, you'll proclaim his greatness. The world will see it and come to know this wonderful, wonderful Savior who has risen before us. Thank God for Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this opportunity to minister your word. Even now, Lord, we ask that you would give us clarity in going forward. We pray that you would help us to see you as you are showing yourself or revealing yourself to us. We can't just find you. You have to reveal yourself to us. Mary went looking for the body of Jesus but found the living Savior. Help us, Lord, to have those paradigm shifts ourselves. Lord, that we can glorify you in your now. And not just remember you from your then, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for those who are not saved, that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching and a Bible believing church where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the things that you called them. We thank you for it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, I also pray for those who are sick, those who need healing, miracle signs and wonders to manifest in their life. I pray, Lord, for those people that we have met as we have traveled. Those who need a touch from you, those who need revival, Lord, those who need encouragement and direction, give us the word. Give us the things that we need to say so that their lives could be changed. We pray for resources, finances, healings, miracle signs, wonders to manifest now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. We pray that you become a vision partner with us. We have several ministries around the world that request help and aid from us, and we would love to do more if we have more resources. That's where you come in. As a vision partner, you can help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you, and we'll see you on Thursday at 7 p.m. Be blessed.